Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm not going to quote here. I'm hanging out with my phone recording, and I'm just not going to worry about quoting documents right now. You'll be able to find them if you look. I just want to talk about a parallel. The parallel is to the revelations recently since Trump came into office and we had Department of Government Efficiency. And both as a result of documents and then just maybe just the general spirit of let's uncover these things, we find out more about U.S. aid and its garbage with all of its psychological ops to bring down and create chaos, either bring down regimes or create chaos in other countries. Create confusion, create propaganda in other countries. Now, that's all evident. You can go look it up. Maybe I'll just try to remember off the top of my head some of them. But what's interesting about the 2025 JFK declassification files, and I haven't looked into them, but one of the things that multiple people have covered is that a document was released, and I can't remember who the guy was, that helped brief JFK on the CIA mission and where it was and even recommend what to do. He may have been a Schlesinger, but don't quote me in the name at all. But if you find something about the memo or the briefing that in the new 2025 declassification files about the CIA and its mission to JFK, that would be it. I think previously we had seen some version of it, and now we have a total unredacted version or nearly total unredacted. And the parallel to from then and all the way to now and the concerns and really what ended up absolutely manifesting after JFK's concerns from 1963 were not addressed is just startling and spot on. And so, really, if you want to know what, again, I don't remember Schlesinger, but this memo to JFK, if you want to know what the real concerns are, I had a podcast too on this, but we'll summarize it. Just look at Truman's concerns when he did an op-ed, I don't know, the Times or the Journal or something, in December of 63. No more than a month and a half, because we had less than a month and a half of 63 left after JFK died. And I think it may have even been about the 15th of December of 63. Truman, you know, long since departed from the presidency, decides to jump on an op-ed and talk about the CIA a month-ish, or just under a month, after a president has been killed, where everybody knows he did what he did around the Cuban Missile Crisis, how close it came, that Cuban exiles were mad about it. People were concerned that he was too much of a cooperator and a sympathizer with the Soviet Union. And there were hardcore hawks, you know, all over the government. So less than a month, or give or take a month. Like I said, I do believe it was under a month. Truman is saying, the CIA is out of hand. And he says, in essence, I meant only to create it. What, back in 47 or whatever? So that I could have better intelligence that didn't have an agenda behind it. I meant it, which is so funny because another president did the same thing after the CIA went off the rails almost immediately. And I think it was a defense intelligence agency that another president created, but I don't remember. He said, I meant it for better intelligence gathering because I felt like every time I got a briefing that the people giving me the briefing had an agenda, whether it's the generals, you know, maybe the FBI, I don't know who all else. But that's what he said. But I never meant for it to be operational. And yet it is, and it's a problem. I mean, I don't know how much, I just don't remember from my readings how much it was known in the popular culture of the CIA's doing in Central America and all of its regime just messing with other people's duly elected leaders and or try to bring them down. But certainly leadership knew that some of that was likely and or going on. So Truman is saying in December of 1963, this ain't good. I didn't mean for it to happen. It shouldn't be operational. We have to do something to either separate the CIA operations from the intelligence gathering or to remove operations. And in fact, again, I'm thinking off the top of my head, he may have said, I don't think operations belong here at all, and I would remove them. But certainly, the concern is this. I can't remember how much he focused on this. It may have just been, I don't want intelligence. If you've got an intelligence gathering side, along with an operational side for a secret agency, then how quickly, and I do believe that Truman said this, does the intelligence agency that is black, that is deep, that is dark, turn into a policy-making organization that is making policy without good oversight of the Congress and the like? And then they're this rogue arm, in essence, the beginning of a deep state, right? So it's interesting that he said that. And again, I may have conflated a couple of his points there, but that was the main gist. And when the, again, I don't know if it's Schlesinger, but this, when this full memo briefing recommendations around the CIA comes out for JFK recently, the idea was, JFK says, help me figure this out. I think they're off the rails and I don't like it. I think it was probably after the Cuban Missile Crisis, but it was certainly around them. He didn't trust them. He said, what do we do here? And the briefing, in essence, says basically what Truman said. It's interesting because there are people who have done whole podcasts on this and whole articles. I think maybe even Kennedy's and King has somebody who wrote an article on that. And it says, listen, the problem is this. They're operational. They're creating policy. One or the other of the executive, one or the other of the branches believes that there's more oversight over what they're doing, but there's not, because either they resist oversight and or one of the other branches, say the House or the legislative branch, you know, is kind of like deferring. Like, I don't know, that's all spy stuff. I guess I'm not supposed to step on toes over there. They're their experts. Right. The essence of the idea of the deep state and the bureaucratic state going, you know what, you're just elected. You don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. Go fuck yourself. We're doing our shit. It's also related to the same idea of, I've heard this story both for Kennedy and for Trump. Trump would take advisement by military members. And then he'd say, thank you very much for the advice. And now I'm going to make my own decision. And as a result, you had a bunch of, you know, supposed sources who were, you know, generals who didn't like Trump in the first term. And that's because they're used to going in there and saying, listen, motherfuckers, I know the military. I'm a 4-star fucking general. I'm the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And when I advise you, I'm not advising you. I'm really fucking telling you. And when you get that level of, when you get to that level and you go, what the fuck do you mean? You're not doing it. No, you are doing it. I'm not doing it. But thank you for the information. You see somebody who's really using the office properly. And that is, I appreciate it. I'm also taking your interests and other factors into account and I will decide. I'm not rubber stamping important things. And so this memo, this briefing to Kennedy back in, I don't know when it was, I assume it was 62-ish, I don't, but it could have been early 63. Like I said, it'd be easy for you to find. Many of the recent, I shouldn't say many, some good number of, you know, people looking at that recent declassifications honed in on that as one of the earlier, easier stories to cover. You'll be able to find it. And he says, yeah, there's just no oversight, really. And because of this, they're turning policy. They're policymakers, including foreign policy. And the other thing that he said in there was, it wasn't just around legislative branches wanting to go hands off. It's that there wasn't State Department oversight. And so, really, things like, it was actually worse than that. It was that there's not enough State Department oversight. And really, yeah, State Department can be, you know, cover for agents and often is, but they really should be working hand in hand. And I believe, but don't get me wrong, I'm not a policy wonk or a regulation wonk per se. Really, they're supposed to have strong influence, if not control of any type of, you know, state affairs, you know, across other, you know, states as in nations. Because of the Department of the State, the State Department, then this is their bailiwick. So this needs to be supervised and controlled and have broad oversight and specific oversight and a strong arm by the state. That is, any statecraft, any spycraft, any tradecraft should have strong oversight by the State Department. If anything, it should be a superior-inferior relationship of state to CIA. And the briefing said that is often not the case. Even then, I mean, we're talking just 15 years into their existence. Like, there should be not a just defer, and every once in a while, we'll tell you what the fuck we want to tell you, state. Go, you know, do official state business. We'll go do unofficial state business. And if there's not that close tie, then you have a rogue agency. Because again, we know what they're doing on the broad level. We know what they did. They toppled regimes. Duly elected regimes were toppled. So let's tie this back then into U.S. aid, where we... there's all these revelations of this crazy stuff they're doing, basically psychological ops, where you try to put money in a certain spot, for instance, to, you know, feed and falsely grow and then even falsely magnify supposed resistance to an existing regime. And yes, this is happening all the way through 2024. You take this U.S. aid money, which that's not where it was, what it was supposed to be about. And per Di Eugenio, Kennedy actually started that as what you'd think it would be. Well, you know, over in the potential, the countries that can potentially fall under the influence of communism, we need to be able to, you know, help them out a little bit too on the up and up. So that at least they don't just fall for the control and the favors of the Soviet Union. But since then, it's turned into this NGO as deep agent version of statecraft. And that's how these two are connected, because when this wasn't controlled, when operations weren't split and definitively separated, like no. Intelligence gathering, that's a different silo than anything to do with operations. And operations has to be very visible, and intelligence gathering has to be very visible. But once they're in the same silo, and they're just reporting back and forth in whispers only to themselves, then who the fuck knows what you're going to get? You're going to get, you know, Bourne Identity type shit going on. Just crazy, crazy stuff. The types of things that ended up feeding the types of things where, and I think military did this, but a great example being where you have programs. I don't know that intelligence did this, but it reminds me of the type of thing that just is so unhinged as far as we're doing what? Like, forget whether we're paying for parades in, you know, gay parades in Iraq or whatever, which we're doing did those types of things through USA. Just basically just chaos events. Try to disrupt the system, sometimes with more specific causes. But then you're paying some people directly to be this odd activist group that sprouted up. You're paying for, protests, big, giant protests, where just like in 2017, but certainly around George Floyd riots and the like, we're paying you to get on a bus and protest. So you find unemployed people and you want to give them $50 and you give them $50 underneath the table. Will they take the day for some free food and a free bus ride and a little bit of fun? Absolutely. We've done that. We've funded fake protests, which is to me interesting because then like a Tucker Carlson or even a Richard Syrett will go, geesh, that seems like what we did in the United States, the exact type of thing. We plant the organic uprising, and we do. Well, I was going to go back really quickly, though, before that most recent aside, would be the idea that there's books on this, the idea and the program that said, let's get into Hollywood and trade access for script control or script review or script approval. And that program went really well, both for TV and for movies, that at some point it was running so well that they said, now at this point, they're just doing it all the time. I mean, we have propaganda on the regular for our agencies, for our branches. I'll give you an example, and I've talked about this in other episodes, but this is the type of thing. I don't have the name of the program off the top of my head. I've covered it in episodes, I believe, but I don't remember how specifically I covered it even then as far as naming it. But this idea that it becomes a psychological op because, you know, under the idea of heroes, you show these various series where absolutely and positively they break Fourth Amendment all the time. But you know what has to be done? And by doing that, you've shown examples of it supposedly being okay, supposedly being what the fuck they do anyway, so what are you going to do about it? And supposedly being, well, what are you going to do? They had to do that. For instance, the Fourth Amendment breacher many, many times is this lovable nerd. Not this asshole, you know, jackbooted thug, but this lovable nerd with horn-rimmed glasses or interesting style or, you know, a tick or just a bit of, oh my gosh, what am I thinking of? Just a bit of Rain Man, you know, thrown in there. Just a little autistic, you know, but boy, they sure know their computers. And then, you know, you hear them talking about their Dungeons and Dragons and the like, and you go, that guy, one of my favorite guys. He's violating your constitutional rights all the time. What's so fucking favored about him? That itself is a psyop. Now, it may have just grown from, hey, can we start with, hey, let's have the general media positively portray us. Yes, it kind of started with that very narrow scope, most likely. But then where did it go? Where in the United States, portrayed all the time, is that the hero is fucking absolutely obliterating our constitutional rights on the regular, as a team, as a regular process, as a system. everything. So anyway, yeah, I just found that interesting that the, not that it's not obvious, everything old is new again, and everything has always been under the sun, right? So as someone who can analyze a situation, this is why the founding fathers are still relevant people, and human nature being what it is, one can see, oh shit, something that happens in the dark and is not properly supervised, and we've given them an excuse to stay dark. It's for national security. And I think maybe even that memo said, maybe it was just an observer, said, well, I think they rationalized that, well, we've got to do what the communists are doing to fight the communists. So while it's not a great idea for America, and it should be highly limited, that's our rationale. And I believe the memo was then saying, but this is the problem, is it not? In a free society, how can this work when you're giving this power behind the scenes, and as their general practices, it is to lie and to deceive and to hide and to bury and to put stamps of national security and to be able to jail someone who opens this information up. This is a problem. This is why it has to be very limited if it is to be included at all. This is why ops in that area, and I've said for a long time, concluded a long time ago, the CIA is the worst institution, short of maybe the NSA, on the planet outside of possibly the banking system and just the nature of the banking system. It's a close 1-2, depending on how you're measuring them, because they affect our culture. They affect the idea that once your group is in on whatever that the CIA agrees with at the time or that serves their interest, then you get all of the benefits or so many of that power of, you know, oh, you want to say this? Interesting. There's a guy in a suit knocking at your door or giving you a call. To me, it's behind the censorship program of 2020 and 2021 that we're just now barely getting out from, kind of, thanks to the hero that is Musk buying Twitter. Remember, the secrecy program and the surveillance program that is such a part of it really did destroy the Fourth Amendment and is responsible for things like, I know you say you think you have a secure computer. By the way, Microsoft, you better build a fucking back door. Apple, you better build a back door. What the fuck you mean? The whole idea is my computer is supposed to be secure. Well, it better the fuck not be. What if you just have to do regular police work? We don't want to do police work, regular police work. We want our police work to be easier and easier over time. This is how you get things like, you tell me what now? Probably 15 years ago, you find out cable boxes have hidden cameras in them. Now say what? Why would cable boxes have hidden cameras in them? There's no function for it. There's no function. This is how Google is spyware, right? I mean, before Google and Google Ads and Google Ad Services, we call the very same thing fucking spyware. Because Google is NSA connected, if not, you know, CIA funded underneath. This is how we get things like, now you say, what now? The CIA has a grant program to start up businesses. Oh, yeah, I'm sure after that, the businesses will just, you know, just get to be organically pass or fail. You know, make the market or don't make the market. I'm sure then that after they grow them, it's just purely for platonic purposes, purely out of the goodness of their heart. That just seems like a nice business. Let's have the CIA Go ahead and fund them, fund their startup, and let them get going further. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the idea that the interests of the NSA and or the CIA are going to be involved later in that same business. Oh, no, no, I'm sure no strings at all attached thereafter. This NSA, CIA under everything is why it turns out that there are cameras that you can't see behind your damn television screen. And then you find out later, now you say, what now? My phone, my TV has camera access? What camera access? Don't I have to plug in via something to have a camera? What are you talking about? This is how we get computers or laptops that have motion sensors. You're like, what the fuck you mean they got motion sensors? Oh, no, it's just Google Ad Services so we can, you know, understand the clients just on a, what do you call it? Just as a collective, not the word I'm looking for. I'm just trying to understand the potential, I said clients before, the potential customers just as a whole. Uh-huh, so... You're not keeping track of location. You got gyroscopes and a laptop now. Dude, all I'm doing is browsing. Why the fuck would you need to know whether or not my computer is in motion? Because it's spyware. It's spyware. Motivated by the surveillance state. Go back and listen to my episode or specifically watch the documentary on A Good American with Bill, I think it's Bennett. It's not right. Bill something. Looks a lot like Michael Shannon, I believe is the actor. Bill Binney. And how he said, hey, we got something that can help you out. And it doesn't have to be quite so invasive. We're trying to walk the fine line between intelligence and metadata and privacy. Do we ever have that line for you? I'm still not sure if that's right, Bill Binney, but it is A Good American. And then he and other people on his team become whistleblowers to say, yeah, so we had a nice, elegant solution that didn't just absolutely macroscopically and as a matter of course, just invade everybody's constitutional rights, and instead was much more screened and filtered than that. But our solution was going to be cheap, and the other less elegant solution was going to make somebody else $1 billion. Even to the point of there had already been a failed project by the time he and others whistle blew that had come to something like, don't quote me on this, a lot of money. I want to say it had almost come to $1 billion, but I might be misremembering. But there was another one that came to pass that then was shut down for failure. It was not elegant. This guy, one of the godfathers of understanding metadata to understand what the enemy is doing, is saying, why would you create something that inelegant and just so all-consuming when you don't have to? Then points out, oh yeah, and this first contractor totally failed, and yet, around the time that operation ended, one of the relevant operations, I believe, no, this would be LifeLog that I'm thinking of. I say because of the time frame that Facebook is exactly what was starting that was really a part of this program. But that's only semi-related in my opinion. It could be, I think, another program started. But all that is based on CIA... let's be spies, ain't this fucking fun, to act like we're agents. Just irresponsible dismissal of constitutional rights. And again, because it's secret and to talk about it is secret, it can grow in the dark such that when somebody says, holy shit, guys, you're not going to believe it, even 15 years later or 12 years later or 11 years later, whatever it's been for, oh my gosh, I got McVeigh in my head from talking about it on an earlier episode, from what's-his-face having to leave the country, the NSA guy. You know, he's still in hearings, you know, for the Trump administration. When someone gets asked, is this guy a traitor? You know, it's still compulsory practically for at least some loser senators or representatives to act as though surely someone trying to be confirmed should say that the guy's a traitor. When all he said was, go, guys, huge revelations. Did you know the NSA and the CIA were doing this? They totally are. It's totally unconstitutional. Thought you should know. This is a problem, man. And it's the mindset. And the thing was, like I said, nothing is new under the sun. I didn't say that right the first time. The problem was identifiable in 1962. And was identified in 1962 by a president who, like Trump, and again, I'm not trying to glorify Trump, I'm just bringing the comparison so you can go, wow, something actually is happening. I'm going to bring up one last thing after this. But a president like Trump who said, I hear you, generals. Thank you, intelligence types. Appreciate it. Now I'm going to make my own decision. Oh, you think you're going to strong arm me into making the exercise bigger just because you set up the Cuban invasion to fail? Fuck yourself. Not only am I not going to do that, but because you're deceitful about it, I understand that your power is too much and something needs to be done. And it could have stopped there. We could have been a more moral country, a more open country, a country that lives to its ideals and doesn't just try to twist the arm of every country in the world to what we think are deep underground, you know, subversive and not even agreed upon in public policies really are. Not doing things that even State Department people don't necessarily get briefed upon. It's truly insane. And it really is also what's underneath the idea, this creeping, invasive situation of things like, oh, well, it's a black budget. And then it turns out that these black budgets become favoritism, and the general with the highest top secret does not have access to find out what the hell's going on. And it turns out that the secrecy is even worse behind the scenes, because we also gave stupidly, proprietary rights to different contractors. Somehow the deepest, darkest secrets aren't even where the most highly classified people with the highest clearance in government can even get to them. They're behind proprietary fences for industry to somehow use, even though you and I all paid for it. All paid for all of the development, and then all paid for much of the operations, but it's not even ours to know about, It's not even generals and officials with the highest security classifications to know about. Yes, 1962 and 63, and obviously 11-22-63, you cannot point to a more specific pivot in the history of the United States and therefore also likely the world, not in the last 100 years. And just getting this declassification of this briefing slash memo fully unredacted or nearly fully, compared to the old one, tells you all you need to know as far as that. And yes, I find the parallel to the revelations recently on things like USAID is almost a perfect revelation. And then finally, again, I can't remember if I said it this episode, you know, Doge, Musk, Trump, that axis of power recently said, we ain't funding you, USAID. That's beautiful. The problem that politicians do is they give deference. And different people have said, you know what, this is a problem, and they'll complain, and they'll act like they're the class president up there in front of the school board saying, we want soda in the machines. And that's as far as it goes. Their efficacy is only that far. And the beauty, whether you like it or not, of the Trump administration right now is that they're going, nope, we see something that needs to be fixed. And the truth of the matter is most of the power is in the executive branch, per the recent Supreme Court decision that basically says, well, you Congress people are never specific enough. So then it requires the executive branch to come up with regulations and with some kind of a structure and organization to carry it out. You've in essence created the deep state, and then you don't have specific enough legislation to even control it. So when they don't have specific legislation behind them, then they can be challenged. And so what's beautiful about this is that no matter what recent court cases say, really most of the power is in the executive hands when it comes to, well, if we are wasting all of this money and we shouldn't have had this scope, then right now I'm shutting it down. I'm the decision maker. So remember, Congress can appropriate funds, but if the legislation wasn't specific and it's really the executive branch gone wild, you know, and the bureaucrats gone wild, then by the same token, an executive can say, how about we don't go wild anymore? And that's going to mostly hold. So I think probably he's going to get smarter and smarter about that as far as how to present his, you know, ways of saying, no, you're shut down, or exactly how to do it. But for the most part, like this idea that he can't decide not to spend money, well, that's garbage. It's the executive budget. You know, the congressional budget, there are some things that report directly to Congress. It's a very, very minimal amount of things. Very, very few operations report directly to Congress. In the hierarchy, it is that Congress appropriates the funds. They come up with the laws, and then how it is executed is via an executive branch agency. All right, guys, I went a little far afield, but appreciate you listening. Okay, catch you next time. Thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth.